Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. This is Jackie Salvitti and my fabulous co-host, Veronica Entwistle.
Hi, Jackie. Hi, everybody.
Hi, darling. Well, welcome, everyone. Tonight's show is dealing with and healing the deep sorrow and new levels of old issues as they resurface again.
Again. Ain't that the truth?
So we're going to talk about this deep sense of sorrow and loneliness and even despair and the old issues that are resurfacing and, you know, whether or not we failed, which is certainly something that's coming up. Why haven't we completed the healings? Is there something wrong with us? You know, this just seems to resurface and resurface and resurface. So tonight I think we'll get some good answers to a lot of this stuff. I'm excited about the show. I know the team is. As I was writing, they were pushing me and pushing me with lots of information. So, and tonight's dedication is to the stabilization of our financial and housing markets in the country. We are at a critical point in this country as old systems begin to break down to make way for the dreamers and the new systems. Remember to dream the dreamers awake, those dreamers that have the solutions to create safety and sanity during these changing times. That's a real important issue for all of us to remember. I've been getting some interesting emails from people. I got one tonight from a physicist in Mexico City who has been working with free energy and, you know, has made requests of the team and to assist him, which of course they're happy to do, more than happy to do. A beautiful, beautiful soul. So, you know, again, these are the dreamers and these are the ones that we're looking for them to awaken. It's very exciting when they're reaching out and saying, look, you know, I want to work with the ETs. So, not that he's not already. Tonight I really want to share with you, this is, bless Squirrel. Squirrel, I know you're listening, and if not, you'll get this in the archives. She sent this to me twice, and it is so important. And this is about the galactic gateways that are open, that opened actually the 23rd yesterday. On the morn of July 23rd or thereabouts, different for all parts of the world, an ancient alignment takes place. The star Sirius rises before the day star, our sun, issuing a declaration to all that the Atlantean Egyptian Syrian New Year has been birthed. This is a doorway of unprecedented opportunity to swim forward with a stellar surge of awareness that precedes the daylight. Since ancient times, and I want to say this, I have been here spontaneously during a regression, for this very opening inside, I was inside the pyramid, and there was like a pedestal that you stood on, and when Sirius aligned for this time, there was an opening in the pyramid that would hit you right in the third eye. Since ancient times, Sirius has been known and revered in many cultures. In ancient Atlantis, the mysteries were based on information received from the Sirius masters. After the third fall of Atlantis, the Syrian mystery spread into ancient Egypt as early as 3000 BC, actually probably earlier. The Egyptians started celebrating the helical rising of the star Sirius, declaring this the new year as the Nile flooded its banks in the time of the great lion in the month of Leo. Sirius is the home of Christ consciousness, which I don't know if a lot of people know that. Lazarus talks about it as the etheric gateway for God and Goddess to come through to our universe. Not only for our planet and solar system, but also our entire galaxy. Sirius has always been a spiritual prototype for Earth and played a vital role in Earth's early evolution. Spiritual energy streams forth from Sirius into the heart chakra of our sun and then comes forth to Earth through the sun's rays. I want to say something here about Sirius. Bashar has talked many times about the fact that the first beings that we will actually interact with on this planet will be from Sirius, not the ones that people would think.
So does that mean that they will be of the Christ consciousness, or is that a focus that they become, I mean, like they're headed toward that?
Oh, they are of the Christ consciousness. This is, you know, I found this this particular piece very fascinating because it wrapped up a lot of other pieces. As the rays from Sirius arc onto Earth via the sun on July 23rd, we will have another opportunity to activate the 11 Christ seeds within. These are dormant DNA encodings that await stellar emanations and configurations in order to open sealed soul records, truth of each light being held within the human costume. She goes on to say, go out before dawn. And you can go out at any time right now. This is really called the dog days of summer. It's really an important time. Every year I do spend a lot of time out at night with Sirius. These cellular records are held within a crystalline code in the form of a tetrahedron, which exists within the codon of each strand of DNA, which resides within each cell of the body as well as each cell in the universe. In the ancient times, the records of remembrance were hidden deep within the earth physically and dimensionally, under, above, and around sacred sites. The mother matrix of these encodings lives within the Great Pyramid of Egypt, guarded by the Sphinx. When the ancient skies were aligned in a specific stellar alignment, an energetic doorway was opened to the sacred sites, allowing entrance through these sacred encodings. In other words, we could access all sacred sites. So for those of you that are stargazers, this is the timing during the dog days to really make strong connections. Sirius is closest to the Earth. It's a very, very powerful time. We all carry within us cellular awareness of every sacred site. The only way that Earth can move forward is through the heart, anagram for Earth. Every tool, meditation, and om is a fruitless tree unless one moves into direct contact with the heart. Since the universe knows we are stubborn of nature, it has aligned some stars to shoot that cosmic Cupid arrow our way, activating a doorway of love so vast one is automatically included within without any effort. I think that's just beautiful. So I did want to share that with everyone. We're also, of course, moving into the 8-8 alignment, which is the Lion's Gate, also very powerful doorway. So August, we have two eclipses coming up as well. August is going to be a very powerful month. So on to tonight's subject, sorrow.
But when there's an increase in the love flow, there is sometimes a flushing up of the sorrow, isn't there?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there are a number of reasons for it. And, of course, this, again, triggering deep sorrow and resurfacing of the old issues that we really believed that we'd healed and resolved. And this has been coming up in my sessions an awful lot, Veronica, and I'm assuming it's coming up in yours, and I know... Certainly you had this surface this week.
I sure did, and it was really just kind of a revisitation of some old feelings that I had that kind of weighed me down. I felt heavy and sad and kind of trapped in an old feeling and wondering if I was ever going to break through. It was quite incredible. And I heard that astrologically, it's pretty intense right now, weighing us down.
Yes, it is.
I meant to write that up for this show, but I didn't. But in any case, it feels like it's very heavy out there, doesn't it? It feels like it's
weighted. Well, people are finding themselves very sleepy this week, very tired.
And sluggish. Yeah.
Yes, very sluggish. I've been doing more sleeping than I ever do. So, you know, I really want to say to people that this is happening actually for our benefit so that we can heal another deep level of pain and sorrow from these issues, whatever they may be. There's also another form of sorrow that's really surfacing, and this is a deep sensing that we are leaving all that we've known behind us. Our planet is changing so rapidly, and all of our sense of physical, political, and financial safety is falling away, and there is no map or former experience for us to fall back on because they don't exist.
And I just want to interrupt here and say that some of my clients have been phoning about a feeling of sort of an intense little bit of an urgent fear feeling, like they don't know what's happening and what's coming up, which I think is reflective of this very thing.
It's absolutely reflective. There's also this deep sense of leaving people behind. And also our concepts of family are deteriorating. And really, everything that we've clung to is dissolving. And that is, you know, I see it for myself because I love the old sitcoms, like I Love Lucy and stuff like that. For me, it's very healing because it was such a simple, lovely time, you know.
And Father News know best.
Yes, I mean, and those times are gone. I mean, it is now part of the history of Earth, but it is no longer in our experience. But with all of these changes comes sorrow, and it's so deep. Also, at a subconscious level, we know that the polar bears are going to die off and become extinct, along with a lot of other animals that have inhabited the poles. We also sense, whether we know it intuitively or intellectually, that the whales and dolphins are getting ready to exit the Earth. I mean, it's not going to happen tomorrow, but it is going to happen. They've been here for a purpose to hold the frequencies and energies, but their time here, although they will be here in a different frequency, they will not be here in the physical. And that will come.
That's really sad.
It's going to be, again, these are things bringing up a deep level of sorrow that we can't really get in touch with. And also we're having to make new decisions about how we're going to live. And, you know, I mean, every time you pull up to a gas pump or you go to the grocery store, you know, it's in your face. You know, gas is unbelievably expensive. You know, food is going up. And, of course, the jobless rate is increasing, and, you know, companies that we've thought of as American, you know, strong, you know, are beginning to fade. And it all brings up sorrow. Our foundation is falling away, and everything that we've known as America, Chevrolet, apple pie, you know, is disintegrating. You're going to see a lot more people. I mean, really, of course, you see it a lot anyway with flags. But you're going to see people really reaching out and really wanting to be at war, looking for something that is familiar to them. And that is familiar. At the same time, okay, we're opening in unbelievable ways where nature is starting to speak to us. We're more aware of the trees and the flowers, the bushes, the rocks, the cement, everything. I mean, I don't know, how about you, Veronica? Aren't you noticing that things, I'm finding myself so much more sensitive to all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the bees, the everything that comes around, I find myself talking to it.
Yeah, we have an amazing collection of, well, both greenery here in Washington State, but also birds. The way the eagles show up when I'm doing a reading or even talking on the radio, the eagles will kind of perform in front of me, and I take it all very personally. You know?
It is personal. It is personal. They're responding to the frequency. They're responding to the lab. And so as we're kind of in the process of awakening and changing our frequency, and even though it's really what we came here for, we're still pulled by these feelings of deep sorrow. And it's change, and change can cause depression, whether it's good change or bad change. You know, lots of people have a life-changing event that's good and go into a state of depression. I was engaged once to a man that won the lottery up in Canada. And as you know, Veronica, it's paid all cash up front, no taxes and so on. And, you know, so...
That sounds good.
Yeah, well, when I was up there with him, he was on a lot of different radio shows and so on. And a lot of this came up about people who won the lottery and went into a state of depression. So whether it's sudden change or slow and uncertain change, which is really what we're in right now, this slow, uncertain change, although it feels in some ways very sudden. Because our human consciousness likes things to be stable. We like things to be fixed. It's what we have known on this planet for, you know, at least thought we have known, at least in our lifetime, that things at some degree were stable. You know, the gas stations, the grocery stores, you know, those kinds of things. We've gone through fluctuations economically. But there was still always a sense of stability. Even if your parents were really crappy, they were your parents. It mm-hmm. was stable. You knew they were crappy.
you learned a whole bunch of ways of adjusting to it, didn't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And as all this is falling away, we have to adjust to that falling away and embrace all that's coming and take an active part in creating and dreaming what we desire. And not just our personal desires, but also our planetary desires, and all without judgment. And boy, that's tough, because it's going to be in our face. It's going to, as it is right now. You know, people are looking at where our country is saying, wait a minute, we've been taken down a path, you know. From the larger perspective, you know, when you pull out and look at everything that's going on, in his own way, Bush played a perfect role to take us, to force us to decide to take our power. At
to
some level.
Actually see what was going on and what
absolutely.
Was the game.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would liken him to Judas. Okay, you know, Judas had to play a role and certainly took the hit for it for thousands of years.
Mm.
So it's time for our magician, capital M, to come forward. We're all magicians, even though we forgot. We've been magicians in Atlantis, or Lemuria, on other planets, but we were magicians. We knew alchemy. We knew how to change things. And, you know, so many people have this really strong connection to Merlin, and I'm seeing it more and more. How about you, Veronica?
To magic anyway. I'm not so much to Merlin from my experience.
But to magic?
Mm-hmm.
Well, and one of our human archetypes is the magician. Okay? It is in our blueprint. It's in our framework. It's something that we can draw on. It's always been there. So why now are all the old things surfacing? And, you know, the information that the team gave me is that these are themes that we have run for lifetimes. And we very wonderfully designed this lifetime to incorporate the theme that has been the most damaging, the most difficult, that has cut us at the level of soul.
Hmm.
To encounter it in this lifetime, to be able to heal it through what we perceive as time, although there is no time except for here, but through our experiences, not only on this planet, but other places. And these things, in your case, of course, family,
mm-hmm.
Whether it's failure, betrayal, abandonment, can have all those elements. Safety, whatever it is, it's there.
Pushing out, rejection is a big one for a lot of us.
Right, rejection.
Especially if you're in the healing mode, a lot of people have been pushed out, haven't they?
I think being different,
mm-hmm.
Being unique, trying to break away from the norm. Certainly in human lifetimes, it's been a recurring theme of, you know, we know this, that it's never been popular for those that tried to stand out and change things.
or tried to do magic, really.
It's correct.
Yes.
We're also feeling, and we're connecting more to soul. And again, when we look at all the damage that we've had through these lifetimes, this running theme, whatever it may be, and for each of you it's going to be different, it's something you need to do and sit down and review. What is my theme in this lifetime? What is the biggie for me? But through this process, we're connecting more deeply with soul. And that is going to bring up sorrow. And whether the experiences are connecting us to soul or our connection to soul are making the experiences deeper, you know, that we get into the chicken or the egg thing here. many people, are noticing how easily they cry right now. How much more emotional. I mean, I can hardly laugh at myself. I could cry at just about anything lately.
I don't, but I feel like it. I feel like somewhere deep down I've been crying, and maybe that's the soul.
It is the soul.
Mm-hmm.
And our very soul is calling us to awaken from the dream and to connect. And, you know, people don't think about the fact that they can have soul damage, that there can be damage that's so deep that it cuts at the level of soul, and that we carry this with us, if the soul has never healed, through lifetime after lifetime after lifetime after lifetime, trying to heal it. And we haven't had access to the tools to do that until now. Now it's imperative that we do. But this deep loneliness and this deep sorrow is the calling out of soul, is the connection to soul. And when you connect to soul, there is a sorrowful quotient to it. People, you know, tend to think of soul, oh, it's going to be the ultimate. But Lazarus has often called it the sweet sorrow of soul. I never really got that until I started experiencing it, and I went, oh, okay, I get it.
Was carrying on streams of all that's been experienced, even collectively as well as singularly, right?
Exactly. Another thing that's happening is I'm not trying to get people to change what they do, but this is going to happen, not because of what I say, but because it's going to happen, is that people are going to find that if you're ingesting animal products of any kind, it's going to be more and more and more difficult for you to do so. Because of your levels of sensitivity opening up, at a cellular level, you're going to actually feel the difference when you ingest animal protein. You're going to feel what's happened to the animals. You're going to feel it with a lot of times with dairy products, and hopefully everybody's eating organic. I would say please, if you could possibly do it. You know, even if you have to walk, it's worth it.
Some
people have said to me, well, I'm eating organic meat. And the problem, again, even though it may be organic, is the way in which it's slaughtered. The Jewish people really, you know, boy, did they have this right. The mystics really, you know, this goes back to the old Jewish mysticism, that no animal should suffer at its death, because they knew that you would ingest at a cellular level the fear. They got it loud and clear. And to this day, everything is kosher, and it makes perfect sense to me. I actually have great honor for the Jewish people for getting that and carrying through with it for so very long. You're also going to find that you're going to be more sensitive to... You know, I laughed last night, I got in bed. And I always flip on some little sitcom, you know, for a few minutes that I turned on when the dogs stopped barking until they thought that I have to turn off the television. And somehow I flipped to channel 20, which here is CNN. And on this television in my bedroom, you cannot get CNN. It comes in all this. It's the only station.
But you got it?
No, I mean, it was a mess. You couldn't see it. And it made me laugh that, you know, I recognized something else was orchestrating this because every other channel known to man comes in just fine, except for CNN. And, you know, my son laughs and tells everybody he's not allowed to watch CNN at my house. You know, I mean, even my own level of sensitivity, I bought something and I didn't realize it had eggs in it. And it was gluten-free and it was organic and so on, and I didn't read it. Got, you know, without my glasses, I see nothing. And I rarely use my glasses unless I'm in front of the computer or reading intentions or reading a book. And I thought, ooh, I feel really funky. So I got out everything, you know, everything new that I'd eaten and read the label, and sure enough, it had eggs in it. And I had had it more than one day in a row, and it really turned me inside out. I was like, phew. So, again, I'm ultra-sensitive. I don't expect everybody to give up everything, but...
You know, sometimes it's really hard. I still go back to eating chicken. And the reason for that is I can't seem to get my protein stable enough. I can't seem to handle it. You know, so that's kind of an interesting
problem. Are you doing the muscle milk, Veronica?
No, I didn't order that. My chiropractor got me to get some protein powder, but I really felt ill and I bloated up on it. It was really awful.
All right, try the muscle milk. Okay,
all right.
For all of you who are listening out there, if you take the muscle milk and combine it with whey protein, and there is a wonderful whey protein out there that is, for anybody who has lactose intolerant, it's fabulous. The muscle milk, and I'm lactose intolerant, gives me no problem whatsoever.
So does it have whey protein in it?
I combine the whey protein and the muscle milk.
And you buy the whey protein at a...
I actually buy it online at Vitacost.com.
And you buy both of them there?
Yes.
Vitacost,
VitaCost.com.
Great.
I buy it for 50% of what it costs at Whole Foods. And I'm sorry, I don't have the name of the whey protein I use, but the whey protein I use is one that is for people who are lactose intolerant, and it's also fat-free. When I combine those two, it is phenomenal, and it has made a huge difference in my body.
Well, I'll try that one because I just had very bad luck with the last
okay,
effort.
I'll remember to email you the name of the whey protein, or if I don't, email me. Let's see. Now, you know, as far as old things coming up, I've had something systemic come up. And interestingly enough, when I died, I had a fungal infection that ran through my entire body. And it went on for a year. They put me on Flagyl two different times. You can only do that twice a year without it killing you. And nothing touched it. And with all of the esoteric people I went to, it was all emotional. They all said the same thing. We can't do anything. It's emotional, and we can't even get to it. It's so big and so deep. So no one could help me. It was very interesting. And what is even more interesting is that the level of that infection actually... still is in my space, and where it went in, because I had had an accident at the same time, and it actually went into these places that were holding all this emotion and turned into almost, it gets crusty. It granulates. And so we're in the process right now getting all this stuff out, but it has been very, very fascinating to me to see how this same issue, and of course it's around loneliness and men.
I want to call the men are feeling guilty now.
Oh, no, I'm not saying that to make anyone feel guilty.
I'm just teasing, Jackie.
No, it's okay. My ticker has always been broken, so... I didn't have good models.
Well, we did, because there are no real models for the world in which we're entering now.
Yeah, absolutely none. Mm-hmm. And so I do a lot of dreaming around, and have been for years, about what I want to create. And, you know, and I've been willing to wait until I could match it up, because I haven't been willing to settle for less. But the loneliness, and it's very, very interesting, because for all of you who have settled for less and been in relationships where you were more lonely with someone than alone, you know, that's not the answer either. But it is this same issue resurfacing again for me has been very fascinating as we're getting to it at a systemic level. And it's showing up in areas, you know, I don't want to get too technical here or too personal, but it's fascinating that it has kept me from from being active, you know, with men. And I'm fascinated that all of this is now coming to a head and clearing. And it's not the most comfortable thing I've ever did. I've done. I can tell you that, but it is a very old issue, and I've been looking at it in terms of my theme. Okay, where I know in this lifetime I got damaged at the level of soul, and then it made me realize that that theme must run out further. Okay, not only in human lifetimes but in other places. So I've been working with that as well. And I know that the team is chomping at the bit to talk to everybody. And they, I'm going to let them talk. I won't talk for them. Veronica, you're going to have to watch the volume levels.
Yes, I'm going to make sure that they speak into the mic.
Okay.
We apologize. Last week, the volume was low, and we weren't certain whether it was just one phone or another. So,
well,
it'll be better this time.
I'm going to adjust my headset right now and hope that this works. Okay. And just give me a moment. All right, we just got pulled off the air. We're back on.
That was the station identification.
Welcome, everyone. As always, it's a joy and a pleasure for us to be with you, each and every one of you. Whether you're listening to this live or you're listening to this in the archive, we are with you, with your permission. If you're listening to this and you do not want to experience us, please, at this moment, just put up your hand, say no thank you. We will never invade your space without your permission. Ever. Tonight, we will be working with each and every one of you at the level of soul, at the level of spirit, as well as your human level. Working with, loving you, lifting as much as we have permission to lift of this sorrow and the loneliness. Now, we want you each to understand something. Your higher self, your soul, oversoul, are the gatekeeper of your experience. We cannot and will not override what they desire for you. Some of you are reaching levels, depths that you've never touched before in order to finally let go of your control, of your resistance, of your self-loathing, of your self-doubt, of your fear. So each and every one of you will receive something. Now, we do not tell you this to make you feel like you're wrong or that you're broken, because you're not. Remember, in the dream state, you're meeting together with everyone. It's like you being the director of you. You are not as much outside of your experience as you think you are. But these remnants of consciousness that you've held on to, especially fear and control. Well, if I let go, will I fall? Will I fade away? Will I disappear? No. You won't. Now, for many of you, your trust is wobbly right now. We see it as we look out over there, how beautiful each and every one of you are. And we know that uncertainty is there. Well, how is it going to look? What's it going to be like? What are you dreaming? Now, certainly, if on your internet, there is a plethora of information. Now, you have to sift through it. You have to sift through it. And you've all been working diligently. We know this. How do I get through? How do I get through? How do I get through? Do I pray? Do I meditate? Do I chant? What do I do? And the loneliness. We see this. We want you to understand that this is a normal state when you begin to awaken the way that you are. Remember, you've not had ships land on your lawn, you know, people knocking at your door, saying, here, let us give you an instruction book, let us walk you through it. Now, you can access it through meditation. There are many beings you can call on. Certainly, you can call on us and ask us to work with you in the dream state, especially tonight. It is our joy to do so. Those of you listening to this are in far more contact than you know. Not one of you listening has not received contact. Not one. Remember, we are your family. We're not going to let you flounder. Now, learn, yes, your choice. Don't give me too much, just enough. I want to stretch, I want to grow, I want to use my tools. I can get there. You've all had children, or most of you. Especially the little 2-year-olds. I do. And many of you are so close. And yes, the information the channel brought through tonight, very accurate. A permeating sorrow. And this sorrow also, and we were going to go further with this, you are now feeling the people that are starving on your planet in suffering. You are now feeling war. Really feeling war. The atrocity of war. And the more sensitive you become, the more aware you are all going to become that you are all one. You are not separate from anyone suffering. You are not separate, be it human or animal, from anything. From your earth, from any blade of grass, from any tree, from anything. You're going to become more aware of how organic everything really is, including your automobiles. Everything will feel more alive. And the more alive it becomes, the more aware you will become of your thoughts. Every negative thought, every thought of judgment. The reason that we gave the channel a series of shows from shame to shadow to rage to fear and now to sorrow and loneliness. There was a method, a reason for all of this. To embrace the darkness within yourselves. You cannot run from the dark. You cannot hide from the dark. You could try. But you're on a planet of polarity. You hold within you both. And it's imperative that you bring these things to the surface and embrace them without judgment. And if you're judging out there, you're going to judge within you. And if you judge within you, you will not bring these dark parts of you to the surface. You'll resist it. And so it will come at you. And come at you and come at you. Until you finally realize that it's all you. You're still experiencing yourselves as separate, autonomous.
Are you also experiencing the sorrow?
Are we experiencing the sorrow?
Yes.
No. No.
You're not on a soul journey like this?
No. There are some other races that we would not say experiencing sorrow. No. On an evolutionary movement, yes. A movement of integration, yes. Your earth is different, Veronica. Human consciousness is different. Remember, you experience yourselves as separate. And especially separate from your source. And so coming into human incarnation, the setup is such that you're already stepping in to experience with abandonment under your belt. Do you understand what we're saying?
Yes.
Feeling abandoned. For some of you, feeling betrayed, and if you don't feel betrayed, well, you soon will.
And a lot of our growth is about loss, isn't it?
Absolutely. And a lot of your loneliness is the calling out at the very level of soul for the reclaiming of your oneness. And that's what you're all looking for. And so you go about your daily business, whatever that may be, still seeing yourselves as separate and being upset with this person or that, and look at how they're dressed, and look at this, and look at that. Separating yourselves even further. The goal. And you'll become more aware of this. Many of you maybe already are. Of embracing everyone you see. Even if they look scary to you. Because that is some aspect of you. It's not separate. And if you judge it, you judge yourself. This is a difficult piece. It is a piece of your evolution, however. Channel talked about the animals. This is another piece as well. They are not separate from you. They may look different. You may perceive that their consciousness is different. But we would say to you that as time goes on, you're going to find that it's not as different as you thought. An interesting story. The channel was dialoguing with someone last night on the computer, a client. And they had a reading with their wonderful animal friend. And what this person was fascinated about was that their wonderful animal friend was in fact their teacher. And he said, you know, they felt more like a teacher with what they were saying through this animal communicator. In fact, they had a funny comment about the fact that he was really, the dog was a man. A little put off by the ETs because they bothered him. They liked to touch him and so on. He found it bothersome. And he was making recommendations for his human friend. Another person had a session with this same animal communicator and found that her dog was playing planetary grids in its spare time. So you see, your awareness, your awakening to the role that animals are playing on the planet is just beginning to evolve. Just now. We've said to the channel separately, there will come a time when humans will have great difficulty with the way that they have treated animals. This is also a piece of the sorrow that you are feeling. An awareness that there was a time when you were not aware. When you were not conscious. And it will require a forgiveness of self. It will require that.
We have only 2 more minutes or 3 more minutes.
All right. you would like to take these last few moments now. If all of you will close your eyes, please, and allow the love to surround you, to enfold you. Feel it going through you, through all your lifetime, through time and space as you know it, and through non-time and non-space. Allow this love to permeate every cell in your body. Open your heart and allow us to love you. All of us that are gathered from every level and dimension, not just what you would call star beings, but so many others. Masters and angels and all kinds of beings and group consciousnesses to love you. We are here to assist you, to support you, to embrace you. You are safe. You are loved. You are courageous. Allow the love, everyone. And allow this to continue through your nighttime. As you go to sleep tonight, if you will, give permission, if you desire, for the work to continue through the night. If you have specific issues around loneliness and sorrow, offer them up tonight when you go to sleep. To release them, to heal them. We are here to assist you in every way that we can. And our love for all of you is unconditional. Dear Veronica, we love you.
Thank you. I love you too.
As always, we are so grateful for your assistance during these transmissions. Veronica, if you want to give information about your radio show, if you have time.
Yes, I'm going to have my Radiance by Design next Tuesday at 4 p.m. on this wonderful BBS radio. And at 5 o'clock, Paradigm Shifter. I'm having a fellow who's done a tremendous amount of research on UFOs called Wendell Stevens. So I'm looking forward to that. That's BBS Radio, 5 o'clock next Tuesday.
Wonderful, dear one.
Thank you.
We love you all. You are never, ever alone. Please remember that. You are never alone. We love you. And until we meet with you in the dream state tonight, namaste, dear one.
Namaste.